Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show special simulcast of Freedom Prediction, Truth Just Below the Surface. And I'm excited to welcome the program, Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you?
Doing good this morning, Neil. And you?
I'm doing fantastic, too.
Okay.
And we have, again, our great guest that we've been having on weekly. It's been really awesome information.
Now, we're going to talk with Howard Bronson, and his book is called Doggone. And the meaning has no disrespect to cats or that sadly flushed goldfish. Dogs just seem to have a special ability to love us. A beloved dog is loyal, kind, enthusiastic about us for no reason. And most importantly, dogs teach us how to love. They fill our heart with comfort and companionship, and all they ask in return is to be there to love you. So when they die, when they look up to you with those baleful eyes and let you know they cannot go on any further, often the loss of a beloved pet produces more anguish and heartache than a human does. In this classic book, Doggone, Howard celebrates the memory of his beloved sheepdog, Grady. But the book goes much deeper than that by gently helping the reader to understand both the depth and the impact of a dog's love. And before I start the interview, I just want to say that Howard has had a number of programs on this podcast about different topics, different books, and you would do yourself a real favor to go back and listen to each one of them, because there's stuff there that you won't get anywhere else. Good morning, Howard.
Good morning, Reverend Wynn. How are you, sir?
Doing really well. Let's get into our discussion. Many of us are able to love dogs more than our chosen human significant other. Why do we do this? What's wrong with us that we can't love our human partners this intensely?
I think part of the reason, Wynn, is because we use words to express love. We write beautiful poetic sonnets. We tell one another we love them. We tell one another we want to be with them forever. But it doesn't always work out that way. It's different for a dog. First of all, a dog's love language is touch. It's in the way they look at you. It's their excited breathing. A dog's language is much more sincere. It's on a much more basic, visceral level. And I think it's something that we really understand and strive to do better as human beings.
You talked about love language, and I'm taken back to one of my previous guests that talked about the five love languages, and basically wrote a book about five ways that a person could know that they're being loved by another individual. And physical touch was one of them. And so if we relate this to a dog, and physical touch is one of our primary love languages, then it's easy to see how a dog can give you that by licking you, by snuggling with you in ways like that.
Yeah. I would like to add to that where, you know, I'm often counseling couples. I'm going to be counseling one after, you know, our interview this morning, who are, fighting each other and making excuses and, you know, creating all kinds of distance. And one of the things that's critical for people to understand is sometimes your tone, oftentimes your tone is far more important than the words you speak. And when we talk with a dog and we're saying hello, what happens to our voice? It turns into something high and Disneyland-like of, hi, how are you? Because you know, we want to convey sweetness. We know the dog doesn't understand all the words that we say. But, you know, it's really worth looking at why we're so connected to a pet. And what we should do, as outrageous as it sounds, is strive to bring more of that into our human relationships without the licking.
Moving on to a different aspect of this conversation. Can we trust a dog more than we can trust a partner?
I think absolutely yes. You know, yes, there are some wayward dogs. There are some dogs with, you know, defective issues, defective brains, or that were mistreated, and they're going to respond sometimes, you know, with aggression. But a true dog is loyal, is faithful no matter what happens. You can reprimand them, and instead of them getting angry with you, they feel sad and they feel ashamed. You can trust that the dog is always going to love you, even if you're feeling low, needing distance, you know, trying to figure things out. They don't take offense when you're feeling low feelings. They get closer to you. So a dog has all the elements of what we really would like to see when we're loving one another.
Now we'd put on your philosophical hat for a second. And let's talk about trust. I believe that basically you can't trust another person. And my philosophy on that is, you trust yourself always? Well, the answer is no. You've done things that you say, well, I never do that. And then lo and behold, look, you did it. If you can't trust another person, and their issues are more related to themselves than you, you can't trust yourself, how can you trust another person to always be faithful? Would you get into that?
You know, I'm thinking that when I leave this world, on my tombstone for my epitaph, I would like it to read, "He meant well." He meant well. I think we have to look at the intentions of other human beings. And we have to look at the fact that we are only human. And look, even dogs mess up in their own way, you know, in the living room when they shouldn't be, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the way that love can work between two human beings is intention. And that's why, you know, in real human relationships, in love, it's never perfect. You know, intimacy is never ideal. Romance is never like what it's actually, you know, is never what you see on the Hallmark movies, which our wives often force us to watch. So I think we have to look at how we intend, and the marriages, the relationships at work are when people have an attitude that they intend to please.
Let me go one step further. If my philosophy is correct, you've got one of two choices here. You can either trust other people until they mess up, or you can distrust everybody, become a hermit, go into your cave and live. But if you do that, you sacrifice a lot of humanity. And so I, as a person, would rather trust everybody, knowing that nobody is going to be trustworthy all the time, and accept what that causes me in terms of heartache or feelings of sadness or whatever, because I don't want to be that hermit that lives in a cave. Would you respond to that?
I agree with what you said, and this is rare for you and me because we have, you know, such strong, sometimes oppositional viewpoints. I agree with what you said 100%. If you approach people or life in doubt, you're going to end in doubt. You approach people in hope and faith, you're going to try to bring out the best for them and the best in yourself and the best in them. In love, there's always risk, and if we're hurt, and, you know, talking about pet loss, if we lose a pet, some people say, oh, I just can't take the pain of losing a pet. But But this speaks to what you're saying, is when we lose, when we love a pet for, you know, 8, 10, 12, 15 years, 18 years in your case, you know, it's the most wonderful thing. And the price we pay is loss, is death. That's the price we pay for sharing the love. So is it worth one human being taking a risk with another? And if it doesn't work out, heal in the best ways you can and move on with your life, because life is very short and we are designed for joy, and we shouldn't be living our lives in mourning. We should be celebrating the fact that we can love one another and care for one another. So I completely agree with you. Love is worth the risk.
This book that you wrote is very touching, about the loss of your dog, your sheepdog, Grady. Now, many of us have very special stories of the loss of a pet that we dearly loved. We know how deep that hurt is, but can you give us some tips or some insight on what we can do to lessen that hurt?
Well, that opens up quite a Pandora's box, because this is something that I study. And excuse me, as with you and the 40 plus books you've written, we spend so much time researching, interviewing, creating focus groups. And then, you know, we sit down when the vessel is full, and we sit down and empty that vessel into a book. So I have so many insights into what people can do and how they can manage their grief, because this is one of the hardest things that people have to deal with. So the first thing to understand is, despite what the rest of the world might think, or some of your friends might think, you're overreacting to the loss of a pet, your grief is valid. And some people have a different understanding of relationship with animals, but what you're feeling is real. And you shouldn't compare your loss or your grief to anybody else's experience. You know, focusing on whose loss is worse. Well, I lost my dog. Well, you know, I lost this and I lost that. Loss is, again, it bears repeating, loss is the price we pay eventually for loving. And that's a fair deal, because often, you know, in this day and age, you know, most of us have had two or three marriages, that it's just a fact, at least two. There's loss, and it hurts, and it creates a sense of loss and emptiness and you know, vacuousness in our gut. But we heal and we move on. So if you feel guilt about losing your pet, you shouldn't. You should feel, you know, always, for the most part, we do the best we can. You can't beat yourself up. You understand that this happened and this is a reality. And that's the other thing about loss. A lot of people have a very tough time in human relationships and pet relationships, accepting the reality when that relationship is over, or even if the person dies or the pet dies, they have a tough time accepting that reality. And you can scream at reality and you can rage at reality, but it doesn't change reality. And also, you know, there's issues about time limits to grief. My thought is, allow the time that you need. Let, you know, nature take its course. In my book, How to Heal a Broken Heart in 30 Days, I have a chapter called Cry Till You're Dry. And, you know, if you need to cry and you need to, these tears are cleansing tears. And it's part of the process of saying goodbye. Feel what you're feeling. It's a way of saying thank you to your pet. You know, thank you for the love you've given. Thank you for the love you shared. You enriched my life. You made it less painful, less lonely. And you carry the love forward. So you learn eventually to manage and accept the sadness, but you don't have to eliminate it. It becomes part of you. So
well, those you mentioned grief, and you mentioned guilt. Now, my dog was 18 years old, and he was starting to have bad problems with his ability to even get up and be able to walk and everything.
Sure.
And I had to make a decision about putting him to sleep.
Sure.
Because, you know, I know his life was not good for him. And what about my guilt for making that decision?